This episode is brought to you by NordVPN. Listen up, nerds. No. Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea.
What?
Hello, friends. Do you have a computer? Of course you do, because it's not 1987. Hell, you're listening to this on some kind of computer right now. But do you have a VPN?
Oh,
what's a VPN, you ask? Well, my friend, a VPN is a virtual private network and it offers two key benefits: enhanced privacy and security online. But VPNs do a lot more than that. VPNs shield your IP address, change your browsing location, and make online life easier. It's all about safety and security, my friends. But like everything else in life, it's also about watching TV. Don't let your paid subscriptions go to waste. I use NordVPN to access my home content while I'm traveling. Wink, wink. Plus, secure your connection on public Wi-Fi in airports, hotels, cafes, anywhere you go when you're traveling. There's over 6,300 servers in 111 countries, and you can find a nearby server for the best VPN speeds. NordVPN is easy to use. Connect with one click or enable auto-connect for zero-click protection. And it's got amazing speed. NordVPN is one of the fastest VPNs out there. And with just one NordVPN account, you can use it on 6 devices. It supports every major platform: Windows, Android, iOS, macOS, Linux, even Android TV. I think those are all real. Don't miss out on all the awesome benefits for using a VPN. Go to nordvpn.com/ifanboy today for a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee. The link's in the show notes. Once again, that's nordvpn.com/ifanboy.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is like a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on, over and over in your mind about it, and like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often, I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things, and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it, work your way through it, figure out coping skills, how to get around it, you know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing, you should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/ifanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, HELP.com/ifanboy. You're listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 275, brought to you by C2E2, Graphically, and iFanboy listeners like you. Welcome to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast. This is episode 275. I am Josh Flanagan. I'm here with
Connor Kilpatrick
and Ron Richards. We're all here back together again. We survived Seattle.
I gotta say, I liked last week. Anyway, at iFanboy.com, we have started a website about comic books, and it's been around a long time. We like comic books. We read them. We show up. We buy them. We talk about them, all that stuff. Every week, we all read our stack of Wednesday comics, and then one of us has to pick the best one. That's called the Pick of the Week. A review goes up on the website on Wednesdays, and then we talk about that and the other books from the week and other stuff on this podcast that you are listening to now. We are the three. If you were listening last week, there were some guest hosts.
Yeah, it was entertaining.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
It was fun. But here we go. This is us. Oh, if you're new, why are you here? No, if you're new, welcome. And there's going to be spoilers. Just a reminder for everybody, we're talking about what happened in the books that came out this week. So if you're sensitive about that, or you don't want your books ruined for you, read them first, then come back. The show will work better
Yes. Like that.
And stay tuned for the end of the show. We'll be talking about what is going on at C2E2 in Chicago, if you're heading to that convention, mm-hmm. which is this coming weekend, which is crazy because it will be our second con in 2 weeks.
Now, now I know that you've only got one more after that, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I know that I thought that you had the pick of the week, but Skrix says Connor does. So, Connor, tell us about your pick of the week.
My pick of the week is also Spider-Man 1555.
Listen, it was a rush job. We're all here together in Brooklyn, so bear with us. It's a little wacky. But
Josh
I had to
and
pick,
I sharing a microphone and we're holding hands.
I had the pick of the week. Soft. And it was funny because Josh and I flipped places this week. Josh, you had like 20 books nearly, like 18 books, and I had like 8, which is interesting. So it was a light week for me.
Why do you hate comics?
I don't know. I hate fun. So it was a light week for me, but I also found that it was a really quality week. There was a lot. I could easily made at least 3 other books to pick of the week and not Ultimate Spider-Man number 1555. No, Ultimate Spider-Man number 155. But it's funny because Connor and I were getting our books together on Wednesday, and he was doing his typical trying to guess what the pick was going to be, and he was putting good money on it being Ultimate Spider-Man number 155, mainly because of the art duties by iFanboy favorite Chris Somney.
Yes.
And I said, we'll see. You know, I'll give it a fair shake.
I thought it was going to be because of Rocket Racer. But...
which was awesome, by the way. I didn't even mention that in my review. I love Rocket Racer. But so I sat down to read it, and if you go to iFanboy.com, you can read my review where I mentioned my first immediate thought upon looking at the comic is Death of Spider-Man Prelude. Still,
yeah,
this is the longest prelude. I feel like it's been going on for eons.
It's only been like 3 months.
I know, but it feels like a long time. Like a prelude to me is like
prelude
one issue.
Shouldn't be more than one
right,
or two issues.
Exactly. But so I quickly
it's
got,
been across the whole the whole line too. It's not just the Spider-Man.
We're gonna get to this because you're gonna talk about what happens. But they could have not mentioned that, and it would be fine. It's just the way to get the banner.
Oh no,
on.
I understand.
So, like,
yeah.
Don't you know?
Yeah.
If you understand it, but maybe people at home like. Take that banner off in your mind, and it doesn't matter.
Right, they're just building hype for the event that's coming up and all that sort of deal. But so once I got over that anger...
look home, viewer, banner!
So I sat down to read the book, and yes, it was everything I would ever hope and dream from a Chris Somney-drawn Ultimate Spider-Man book. What I find fascinating about Somney is that we've raved about his work on Thor the Mighty Avenger, and you know, and you guys love him on
The Mighty,
and things like that. What I think is great is that he's got a cartoony style that is of his own, but he takes the effort to match it to whatever book that he's doing. Like, to me, this didn't look just like Thor the Mighty Avenger. Like, he paid credence to what's been going on previously in the book with the previous artist. Did his best to keep the look of the characters, you know, similar. Although one, he kind of drifted off a little to the left. But
well, we talked to him in Seattle. There'll be an interview with him that you'll see in the video show coming up, where he talked about specifically tailoring his style to this book, or merging his style with what's come before. I'm very uncomfortable. Josh put an arm around me. And it's funny because he's got two distinct styles, even if they're variations. He's got the cartoony Thor Spider-Man style, then his personal sketchy
shadow,
very shadowy style, which is gorgeous. But this is just as good in a different way.
Well, the thing is that his use of shadows and light comes in the sketchy stuff. Like, there's a couple of there's a panel that was Peter and Jameson talking that was all shadowy, and it was like I was like, oh, this is great, you know. And he had some great. Some great spread, that double page spread we highlighted in our best of the week of panels. The double page spread of the Daily Bugle office was just like really well done.
Hold on for a second, because you're talking about like an Ultimate Spider-Man comic book that Chris Omni got to do, and this book is 85% two people talking.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah.
I'm gonna draw Spider-Man as a guy. Oh, it's two people talking.
There was like two scenes where he's in costume.
Yeah.
Like maybe like 5 pages total.
But even those were just like flapping around, really.
Well, that was the kind of gist of my review, was that nothing. I mean, a lot happened in this issue, but nothing like superhero-y happened. Like, so basically, what happened was is that coming out of the last story arc where Jameson found out that Peter was Spider-Man and Peter saved his life. Jameson calls, Spider-Man says, we need to meet. And the tension in that conversation was so good.
Really like those first panels in the room where it was like, so do you know why you're here?
Yeah.
I know.
Why'd you tell me why?
Yeah. Tell me why you're here.
It was, I mean, like, Bendis really, that whole scene between Jameson and Peter, not only, like, what was great, like, this is what I like about the promise of the Ultimate Universe, is that it's a different relationship than what we read in 616. Mm-hmm. You know, and they've had a different relationship throughout the whole thing, and now they've got this...
And it only took us 15 years to get
exactly,
to.
Yeah. But, 10 years. But now...
Bagley threw me off.
Yeah. But, and so now they've got this bond where Jameson knows he's Spider-Man, Spider-Man saved his life, Jameson's not going to out him, and it solves Peter's employment problem, now he can work at the Daily Bugle... And when Jameson starts being generous and saying, you know, like he's like, all right, he's like, you saved my life. So what do you want? What can I do for you? And he's like, well, I need a job. He's like, well, why do you need a job? He's like, because I need to go to college. He's like, okay, I'll pay for college. And Peter's like, no, I'll earn my own way. That whole scene, like, I was tearing up. It was, like, so, like, proud of Peter, and it was, like, it was really, like...
Were you cutting onions at the time?
No. But, it was just really well-dialogued that I got caught up in the moment of it. Mm-hmm. And then, so that solves that whole problem, and then Peter comes home, he finds Kitty, which was nice, and then in the one battle scene of the issue, and then he goes home to find that he forgot it was his birthday, which is a little... When do you forget it's your birthday?
I think that's telling you about the character. Like, he's concerned about all this stuff. He never ever thinks about himself, which is actually a nice... I mean, it's a little extreme, but so are flying people.
Yeah, and so his whole family, quote-unquote family, is there with a surprise, you know, 16th birthday, and he gets back together with Mary Jane, who... That was the character design that Somni took a little liberties and kind of did it more Romita than Ultimate, which is fine. And they kiss and they get back together. And I got a little teary during there. I was like, oh, this is great. And I realized, I'm like, wow, everything's coming up, Peter. It's fantastic. And then I closed the book and saw Death of Spider-Man Prelude. I was like, oh, Bendis, you motherfucker. It's like, really, he completely got me hook, line, and sinker.
I realized that halfway through. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
The character is totally resolved and happy.
Yeah. That's not good at all.
This story is over. Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, like, if anybody knows anything about how drama is supposed to work, you don't... Like, you want to see him, but you must not see him happy.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you have, like, and so the writer's job is to continually put him through the ringer, and he just gave Peter everything he's ever wanted.
Yep.
He's now buddies with Iron Man. He's got his job at the Bugle. He's got his girlfriend back, and all his friends are back together living in his house.
Yeah.
You're fucked, dude.
Yeah, totally. And, like, and what's sad is that we don't know what the future of Ultimate Spider-Man will be, and, like, recently Bendis was on the Word Balloon, and honestly, his comments didn't give me much hope for the future of this book. Like, I don't know what changes are going to be happening, but we know La Fuente's gone, you know, and it was he made some very weird comments on that podcast, so we'll find out, I guess, soon. But if you told me this was the last issue of Ultimate Spider-Man, I would be okay.
You know, this reminded me very much of that issue of Powers.
Yeah,
that,
where we're like, you can end
where it really sort of capped the series, and after everything after that was sort of not as good as what came before, which is not to say that Ultimate Spider-Man can't be as great as it's always been, but to me this felt like you could have wrapped this up with this issue and been happy
totally.
With a 10-year run.
Yeah, so I mean, and so I joked in the review that I might have just talked myself into dropping this book. I'm not going to drop it. I'm going to still keep on reading to see what happens, but if I don't like the way it goes... I have an ending that I'm happy with, you know.
You know what's one thing that's interesting we're talking about, just to go back to Somni's art a little bit. There are a lot of two-page spreads in here. Not two-page spreads like big, exciting things, but
Bendis
has a thing where he'll go across the page, rather down one and then down the next one. He does that in a lot of books. But a continuing problem that I've actually had with his books over the years is that a lot of artists do that in such a way that – You start to read the page wrong.
Yep.
And I don't know why people can't, like, Oeming in Powers does that a lot, where I'll start to read a page and I'm like, this doesn't make sense. And I was like, oh, I was supposed to read it across. Other guys have done it. Somni actually did it in such a way that I didn't get lost.
I never had a problem at all. Like, the long double page horizontal spreads.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know exactly,
like, historically, because
It's still a problem 10 years on.
And I get it, but Somni drew it in such a way that you could tell that where that page break was and where the eye was supposed to go. And I don't know why no one else can do that, because that drives me nuts.
Yeah. And also, it's ridiculously detailed.
Yes.
I mean, he's a throwback in so many ways, and one of the ways he's a throwback is that his panels are full of detail. The double page spread you're talking about, not the spread, the panel that goes across the top of the Bugle office, it's packed full of – there's newspaper stacks. There's people – there's donuts. There's people in the back doing their own little thing. I mean, there's – every set piece has a background. Well, there's a couple for emphasis that don't, but for the most part, every – panel has a whole world
but
behind it.
But like, it is detailed but also cartoony. Like, there's stacks of papers, but there's no words on them. They're just lines. Like, you get the sense, okay, these are newspapers. And I got to say, his Jameson with the hat and the rolled up sleeves and the mustache, I would read, there was a book called J. Jonah illustrated by Somni, I would read that book.
What was great was when I saw the hat, I was like, why is he wearing a hat? But there was a reason for it.
Yeah,
it was good. Also, just, I want to point it out, one of my two favorite panels in this book were, hey, Ben Urich, hey, how you doing? Good seeing you. Walks away.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a guy who has worked in media with busy people.
Yeah.
Like, he knows how that works.
Yep.
And that glad hand, the big smile. Oh, man, good to see you. I got to go. Bye.
Yeah.
That was just a really neat little moment.
It was great. And then I did notice somebody in the comments on my review commented, which I didn't notice when I read it, but apparently Somni got the spider logo upside down for the entire issue.
Yeah.
The spider's crawling down his chest as opposed to up, which I was like, oh, he's right. The editor should have caught that.
It's going towards his. Or was there an inker, or did he ink himself? No, he inked himself.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to have to take away Pick of the Week. That's the first time that's ever happened.
On a technicality, that's what that was.
Wow.
Well, if we had to take away Pick of the Week, the waiting in the wings was absolutely Punisher Max number 11.
This is. I feel like Jason Aaron has so much fun with this book.
Yes. This book was so much fun to read, and it's hysterical.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's this ultra-violent comedy that is... So basically, this was the big... This is the last story of the story.
This is the conclusion
arc, right?
for the Bullseye. Yeah.
So this is the finally Bullseye and the Punisher face off, and it's narrated by Bullseye, and Punisher never speaks.
A little bit of it. No, he does. He's got the black narration boxes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he does. But it was hysterical. It was.
Well, I love they fight into an elevator. The elevator goes down. It opens up into a construction zone. So there's all these tools.
Well, no, even before that, they go in an elevator, and Punisher's got a knife on Bullseye's neck. You see Bullseye's eye kind of look down, and then he throws up on the Punisher like he vomits
into his mouth.
it's fucking crazy. And then the doors open; it's a construction zone, and Bullseye and there's all these hammers and tools, and Bullseye goes, "There is a god." And then you turn the page, and when they go away from them, and when they come back, Bullseye's all bloody; he's got nails in his head, and he's holding one of the Punisher's fingers. It was great.
But even then, amongst the comedy at the end, you get a very serious moment where the whole arc has been about Bullseye getting into the Punisher's head.
He won't kill him
until he figures him out. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the last issue, he apparently did figure him out. And in this issue, he whispers something to Frank about, "What did you say to your wife right before she was shot?
Yep.
I know what you said to her." And he whispers it, and then it completely throws Frank off. Frank is about to kill him, and allows the Kingpin to send them both through a window, which will then turn the page to the next cover, leading them, I assume, to jail.
Yeah,
but
I'm just happy to see the return of Hair Star. I think it's nice to see him in here. Yeah. Oh wait, sorry.
Yeah. But I love Dylan.
Steve Dillon will stab you with a big pen.
Dylan did great on this issue. Yeah. I mean, he really, really did. I mean,
I can see that. It's just
and I mean, like, what's great is that it was just so violent. It was so bloody, but it was so funny. And like the rhythm of the fight was real. Like, it was Jason Aaron is great. I mean, we know this. I mean, we rave about him all the time. But like, this really stood out to me as possibly the best issue of this arc, possibly this whole series. So you know, the 11 issues so far.
It's tons of fun, and I'm looking forward to the Punisher in jail. I mean, we've done it before, but...
But like this? I mean, he set the bar pretty high for the insanity that can go on in this book. Yeah. So, yeah.
Now, Josh, I'm curious what you thought of Batman and Robin 21, because last time we talked about the previous issue, you liked it, but with reservations.
I liked it, and it was okay before, but this exacerbated more of the stuff that I was ambivalent about, I guess. I thought, again, one of the things that happened before, and I was given the benefit of the doubt, is that Damian felt a bit off, and this continued that. He talked about tweeting. Even ironically, I don't think he's going to do that. And I think it's weird that Tomasi is a guy who was an editor, and is keep like, I just feel like he would know that stuff. You know, like he'd have read the character enough. It threw me off a little bit. I don't know. It didn't excite me all that much. I guess it felt like another... it was a nice concept. The relatives of supervillains are being murdered, you know, and it's fine. But like it was like okay.
Yeah, I thought it was okay too. I liked the Commissioner Gordon looking up at all the stringed up bodies, saying, "It's not like nights like this. I wish I had my teaching degree." But you're right. I mean, I think what you talked about last week was more apparent this week, is that there's a disconnect from the way that Tomasi sees the characters through everyone else, and taken on its own, it would be really good, I think. But since you know that it's sort of off, it sort of colors it. I think overall the story's good.
And also, I mean,
I think the art's really good too.
Yeah, it's fine. But it's Batman and Robin, and because of that, the bar's really high. So it almost doesn't matter. It's like Astonishing X-Men. It doesn't matter what that next guy does. It's not going to beat that Joss Whedon, John Cassaday stuff. And this feels a little bit like that. And I mean, it's fucking hard to follow Grant Morrison. But if you do, like, at least when Paul Cornell came on, like, I felt like it was something so different. It was, I knew it was going to be three issues, so I just had fun with that. But I don't have the same connection. It's not bad. I don't feel like I need to keep reading it like I did with Grant Morrison. When Grant Morrison books were coming out, you were like, I have to know what's happened next. Even Ron was reading the damn things.
I was, quietly.
Yeah, no, I enjoy it. I think it's solid, but there are certainly the elements you talk about that keep it from being a great book.
Sometimes continuity is important, and sometimes it's not. And in this sense, where you do have all these books, there has to be consistency because they're coming out every week, one after another.
At least in the way the characters interact. That's the most important part.
Yeah, and not a nitpick on sort of like, well, shouldn't they be here when this? I don't mean it like that. But yeah, the characterizations.
Also, Batman's stubble was slightly too long as opposed to the other book where it was slightly shorter.
Oh. No, don't make that voice. I hate that voice. I hate the
He's trying to breathe. Yeah. Get off his back.
I didn't do it. It wasn't comic book guy voice. Yeah, that's true. Different. Yeah, it was true. It was hand wringer. Oh, well.
It was our old roommate, Scott Cantor. All right. Yeah. Venom number one from Rick Remender, Tony Moore, and three inkers or two inkers.
Yeah, it's only three pages got inked by other people. Right. Yeah, not too bad.
You know, I went into this knowing that the secret, because it had been spoiled by us.
A lot.
but it didn't matter.
Really, a lot.
Well, what's funny is that, and I don't know if they, I actually thought, I was like, maybe they rejiggered it a little bit because it got out there, because it wasn't, but it wasn't handled like a reveal.
Oh, no, they revealed it in Amazing Spider-Man.
Okay.
This one, well, you're right, it wasn't handled like a reveal.
So I didn't really, I didn't really care. I enjoyed this. Like, it was great to see Tony Moore doing work that clearly he was having a lot of fun doing, I think, when you look at those pages, like, he really has an energy that other artists don't. And I just mean that his pages just look different than a lot of sort of mainstream stuff. I think you could see he was having a lot of fun with the writing. Remender was, you know, he was setting up a bunch of situations. Like, it's got to be fun to write Jack O' Lantern. He's crazy, and
he looked great too.
Yeah, he did.
Like, I immediately, as soon as we saw the shadowy guy giving Jack O' Lantern instructions, I was like, ooh, who's that?
Yeah.
So and totally buy into the concept.
And we know, you know, like, it's a whole, it's in the Marvel Universe, but it's not. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't tied in with everything else that was going on necessarily.
Right.
But it was a concept that you could buy in the Marvel Universe, I guess. But he set up the world of everything, so we know exactly what's going on.
Yep.
We know why Flash is doing this. It's interesting. They don't really focus on it, but if you know anything about Flash Thompson, you know the connection to he idolizes Spider-Man. He wants to be that, but he also wants his legs back.
Yep.
And
well, what I thought was also really interesting was that was the argument he got in with his commanding officer when he got back. The commanding officer was like, that was football hero Flash. I don't need that. I need the soldier.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, that's a really interesting kind of, you know.
It is. And the only thing I thought about that, I was like, so did you not run psychic exams on this guy before you did it? Because this is Flash.
Yeah.
Like, maybe it was a bad choice. You should have chose someone calmer.
Yeah. No, but I love the concept, and I enjoyed the hell out of this issue. And then, like, we get a little bit of relationship drama at the end. The biting irony of the AA meeting in the church with no wheelchair access.
That page, I mean, hats off to Remender for doing that page.
Yep.
Was fantastic. He's really actually good at finding a quote about, so he did it at the end of this. Like, he'll do it in the beginning of Fear Agent a lot of times or something. Yeah. But you're like, he wrote that page, and I was like, I suck. I will never be good at this, because that, God will show you the way. Ramp to the bar, stairs to the church.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's bad.
Yeah, I know. It was hard.
I mean, that really, really well done.
Yeah. You know what I really kind of liked? I liked how Tony Moore handled when Venom started to kick into control, how the head changed, you know, the teeth started coming out.
Yeah.
It didn't, like, I thought it was kind of overdone in the .1 issue when Venom took control. He got all big and hulky and stuff like that. But this is like, I really got a sense of the conflict of you know, trying to keep it at bay.
I don't know this, but is the sort of 48-hour thing, do they establish that just for this?
Well,
I like that. I really like that rule.
Within 48 hours, or the symbiote will bond to you. So you got to have it off within 48
That's
hours.
That's one of those ticking sort of time bomb episodic tricks.
And he can only wear it 20 times.
I didn't know that part.
Yeah, which I love, which is, you know, which means that we gotta have issues where he's not Venom at all.
Or they're gonna have to replace Flash at some point.
Exactly.
It's gonna have to be somebody else.
Yeah,
that's fun. You know, there's fun room for a lot of games there, and I think in this you're seeing a Remender that we're familiar with in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, oh, you're cutting loose on this a lot, and you're having fun.
So.
It's going to be Betty Brant. She's got a lot of anger.
I think so.
I thought it was all right.
You just thought it was all right?
Yeah. It's hard to talk when you only got two mics from three people. But it was I thought it was a little chaotic in the fight scene. I enjoyed the stuff at the end a lot more than I did. The whole setup was a bit, I don't know, I didn't really zone into it as much as I thought I would. But it was okay. I did not like it.
It was a war zone.
I did not like it.
It was chaotic. And it was dark and chaotic. Yeah. So.
No, I enjoyed it. I did not enjoy it. I didn't love it as much as I just hoped I loved it. But I enjoy the concept, so I'm sticking with it.
You didn't hate it nearly as much as you should hate a book called Venom.
Yeah, sure. That's true
as well.
So I have to tip my hat to Connor with Justice League Generation Lost number 21. Blue Beetle didn't die.
I told you.
Connor called it. Although they had me believing he was dead. So, like, it worked. I mean, the issue basically starts with Booster Gold sitting over the dead body of Blue Beetle. And he's trying to figure out how to get the armor off so that he can take him to his family. This was a breather in between issue.
This was a deal with Fallout for the Death. Everybody goes. It was really. I mean, this
it was
is
really good.
This book is fantastic. It continues to be fantastic.
Amazingly good. Amazingly good. And you have so you basically they kind of pair off. You got Booster Gold and Skeets, you know, kind of mulling over Blue Beetle. You got Captain Atom and Ice, you know, dealing with Captain Atom's guilt of what happened with him. And then you've got Gavril or Red Rocket with Fire. And
Red Rocket. Yum.
And they
it's Rocket Red.
Rocket Red, yeah, Rocket okay. Red. And
he's changed his name a lot, so I still call him Rocket Red 7, even though.
But so Fire and Red Rocket or whatever hook up, do a little hooking up, which is nice. Yeah. And then great kind of rally the troops ending. You know, where Booster Gold wants to quit and everybody telling him, no, you can't. And we just need a sign. And then Blue Beetle pops back up. He's like, hey, I'm alive. It was really well done. I mean, it was
good. You need these issues. There's not a lot left. I think it ends in April.
Oh, please. I don't want this to ever end.
So we've got, what is it, March? So we've got a month left.
There's only 22 issues or 24?
Well, no, it's a bi-weekly. So
it's around there,
but it ends soon. I wonder what's going to happen after this, because this is a book you don't want to stop that good feeling. You know?
Yeah, no, exactly. You need to keep doing it forever. So.
Forever.
But
now, New Avengers with Good Chaykin.
I was surprised
by the
direction it took.
Well, we talked about it last month. There's parallel storytelling going on here. In one story, we've got the current day Avengers or the New Avengers fighting. Who's I don't even
Superior.
Someone I don't even care about.
Ex-Hammer agents.
But the flashback story is 1959, where Nick Fury is gathering the Avengers.
Well, gathering agents for a covert ops team called the Avengers. Yeah, called the Avengers.
Yeah.
Yep.
And sort of a Dirty Dozen, Suicide Squad type team
and
of.
So he recruits
guys.
Sabretooth, Victor Creed, Kraven, Dominic Fortune, Namora, and some other dudes who I didn't know. Silver Sable, who I remember. And
now, by putting a year on it, you're really stretching the continuity.
Well, you have to because Marvel Universe is so tied into World War II.
Yeah,
it is. There's no way to get around that. Yeah. You have to deal with that time frame. So you're dealing with the fact that. That how does it make sense that you gotta have to go with it? It's elastic time.
Ulysses Bloodstone was the other guy.
Yeah.
But it's only tied into World War II in the sense of you can keep capping that ice as long as you want. You can keep adjusting.
Yeah, but you had all those other characters in World War II. You can't get around the fact that Nick Fury was a Howling Commando and he's still
But that worked. No, that worked too because he's got the super serum ageless thing or whatever. But when you say
Sabretooth is also more. He's like Wolverine. Yeah. I mean,
Dum Duggan is here.
It's tricky. Is my point?
It is tricky.
You get to elastic time frame. You just kind of have to do
which is fine because Nick Fury and the Howling Commandos and this team in suits in late 50s suits, awesome. Like I would like spin this off into a comic. I will read this comic. It's fantastic.
You, me, and four other people.
Chaykin and Bendis, and that's it. Yeah,
exactly.
But it was good, Chaykin.
Jesus, that was good. That history of the Avengers thing is still going on.
Yeah, actually, really good. You ever read that? I sit down and read it. It's really good.
I'm sure it's kind of fun, but there's a little bit.
Yeah,
it was fun. Even the main story was good with the deal with Mockingbird being shot in the gut, and they don't know how to fix it because they're like, do we?
What I found really interesting in the present day story was that this new Avengers team, even though Luke thinks that they have their shit together, they're the Avengers, they do not. Yeah. Because Luke and Jessica and Iron Fist are over there with the trucks. They're like, should we go back? And like, no, they've got it. And meanwhile, it's like chaos and like Mockingbird was shot in the gut. Oh, shit's happening all over the place. You know, Thing is just busting things for not really thinking about it. And then the superior villain, we find out, has way more power than they thought. And she just blows up the whole place. Like, it's bad, you know? So, I don't know. I really enjoyed it.
He finds ways to keep the dynamic interesting, and just by adding a couple of new characters, like the Thing, who just goes in fists flying, messes up the whole dynamic, and the strategy screwed up. That they're in that mess because he jumped off the roof in the first place. And then they don't know how to fix it because none of them are medics. They don't know how to fix it.
Well, Doctor Strange gets there, but like I like how Doctor Strange gets there, and he's like, we can't move her, and we need an ambulance. And Spider-Man's like, an ambulance, really? Like, it's
actually like the little touches. Like he used the spell to create a flashlight finger to do the eye check, which was cool. Little things like that because he was a doctor.
Yeah, little touches
check
like
her
that.
Pupils and stuff.
Yeah.
All right, kids, who's excited to go to C2E2? Another convention.
Josh is.
I know you are.
I am. I'm pretty excited.
You didn't like being home while we were at Seattle, did you?
It sounded like the greatest thing that had ever happened.
It was.
I'm just looking forward to a hotel room by myself, really, more than anything. Okay, so C2E2, the Chicago Comic and Entertainment Expo, is coming back to downtown Chicago March 18th, 20th. That is right around the corner for those of you listening to this
show. Next weekend.
This is the last call. This year, they're in the West Building at McCormick Place in downtown Chicago with what we're told.
Much more fan-friendly.
A much, much more fan-friendly layout to the show. There will be way less mass shootings this year.
Fewer roving packs of rabid dogs.
They're going to yank the spot. Special guests include Brian Michael Bendis. We can talk to him about some of these things that we just talked about.
Yes.
Adam Hughes, Ben Templesmith, Gene Ha, Cliff Chang, Mahmoud Asrar, Paul Cornell, Mike Norton, Scotty Young, Scott Snyder, and really a lot more. They're announcing people right up until the last minute.
Well, and the big media announcements, Chris Hemsworth, Thor will be there, and Elijah Dushku.
Oh, he's Thor. He's doing the, right, him. Yeah, yeah. Also, Kirk's dad. Just saying. C2E2.
A lot of the Walking Dead cast are going to be there.
Yeah. And Ron is going to do a panel with Rick Bayless.
Yes.
Who I saw on TV the other day.
We're going to be doing food and comics.
Lindsay was like, isn't that guy from Top Chef? I was like, that's Rick Bayless. I'm going to go meet him and eat food that he makes.
Yeah.
Awesome. And she looked at me with narrowed eyes of anger.
Yep.
Tickets are available at C2E2.com. And if you buy before March, no.
You missed it.
Did I do it though? Was it me?
Well, basically, so this is coming out on the 13th. So if you're listening to this on the 13th, Sunday or Monday the 14th, you can still go to c2e2.com and sign up for the whole weekend for $50. After the 14th, you're going to pay the full price. So
yeah, it's a good deal. So if you're hearing this and you're thinking of going, just get on it. Go to c2e2.com for more, and we'll all be there. So we're definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, absolutely, it's gonna be fun. Despite Josh being there,
say hello. We'll be at a booth.
Yeah. Why is that always got to happen?
Just funny. It makes me
this
laugh.
Week, I'm telling you.
it's gonna break.
You're like an angler with all the baiting.
So, Hawkeye Blind Spot number 2. I don't know about you guys, but give me a miniseries with Nick Dragotta doing flashback Avengers stories, and I sign up for it instantly.
I am coming to a conclusion that past Hawkeye might be irrevocably more interesting than current Hawkeye.
Yep.
And I could watch the retelling of him over and over again, but to the credit of this book, the Hawkeye in this book is a lot more like the old Hawkeye than the other Hawkeye that we've been Hawkeyeing.
Whoa.
Did you follow that? No, but like in Avengers, he's been sort of a more reserved, mature version of Clint Barton. In this one, it was like, let's fight Captain America for the heck of it, which I was kind of like...
Which used to happen.
It used to happen all the time,
yeah,
and
exactly.
I don't really care why. I was like, yes, let's fight. And I was like, Clint, you kind of won, but he could have still come and got you after. He just chose not to.
Right.
It was fun.
I thought this issue was better than the first issue, to be honest. Like, I thought it was really, really good. I love the flashback sequences. I love Dragotta drawing when Hawkeye's Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, it was Kirby-esque, but not totally Kirby ripoff, and it was just great, so... Good book.
Hawkeye was stupid back then.
Oh, yeah?
I'm going to take this pill and get big.
He's got issues.
Yeah.
Batman Incorporated number 3 finally came out, and I couldn't love this book more.
There's a page of Batman dancing.
He's doing the tango.
The tango.
He's sexy time Batman now.
Wow. He's so sexy
so
time
they're
Batman.
Finally Grant's finally delivering on what he promised.
Yeah. But it turns out that she was just going to try to kill him.
Yeah.
It didn't matter, though. He was like, is that your attractive Argentinian girlfriend? We're going to tango. And it was just like...
It really was so wacky. And Gaucho is retarded.
Yes.
I mean, like, it's a dumb character. But it was so wacky, and he was just going with it that I went with it, too. And it is exactly what he promised.
And I still love the construction, the ending that's very much like the old TV show with the three questions, and then the three, and then the flashback, then bam, hits you with the full page knock every time.
You know what? There was actually a really cool craft thing in here where they got there, and they're in the middle of this fight, and Batman's like, so did you consider about my offer? And then like the next page, the guy's like, no. And then the next page, he's like, wait a minute, no? And I was like, good, because I didn't know what you guys were talking about. And it was just a neat little trick. Yeah. To sort of put the story over the course of the fight. By the way, that's a great 2-page sprint to open it.
Yeah. Now this is everything I want and love out of a Batman book. This is fantastic, and just now I fear it'll end.
Why?
Just because I feel like nothing good ever lasts.
Yeah. That's what you become.
That's the lesson for this week, guys.
Marvel released the first cross-gen rebirth kind of books. So it's Sigil or Sigil.
It's Sigil.
Sigil.
Everyone knows that.
Sigil.
Sigil number one.
Sigil Shepherd.
He's an editor.
Written by Mike Carey and with art by Leonard Kirk. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
You both bought this.
Yeah, we were
and I were the comic store. We're like, we'll give it a shot.
I had 8 books. I'm like, I'll give it a shot. No, I mean, I understood what was happening in the story, but I had no idea.
Did you read any of the old Cross-Gen books? I read Ruse. I read Ruse when it was originally out.
I don't appreciate your Ruse.
Which was just the Sherlock Holmes report.
That's the one with the guy with the cane, right?
It was Sherlock Holmes, Mark Waid.
Yeah.
This was okay.
It was good. I thought it was interesting because it was a different kind of Leonard Kirk than what I've been used to.
Yeah. Basically, it's a girl in high school with it's her birthmark. Now, no one has a birthmark that looks like that.
Yeah.
And I think you'd investigate if you had a birthmark.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And if you do, that's a problem.
Yeah.
You know.
You're going in and you're like, I have a baby. Now, you're going to the doctor. Something's wrong here. Oh, it's just a birthmark. No, I think I'd like to get another opinion if you're not going to follow up on this.
I don't know. It's symmetrical. It fits. There's a color scheme.
Yeah. It seems a little too planned.
Clearly defined lines. Birthmark really is sort of haphazard.
Random.
Also, occasionally glows.
And teleports her to a pirate ship.
Yeah.
There's your problem.
I was intrigued enough to want to continue reading.
I'm not going to.
I found it interesting enough. It wasn't great, but it was fun. There's a high school girl with this thing, and it turns out her mother also had it, and she gets transported back to a pirate ship in the middle of a stressful moment.
Yeah,
Mike Carey is good with young girls.
You got confused dog look.
No, he's done. He's done a lot of really good story. Like he's very like, for some reason that's he's really good with that. Lucifer focused a lot on the young girl and like he did. He's done some miniseries here and there where he does really well with that.
I think I might give a bunch of these crosses just a shot, the first issue to see. It depends on the week.
Yeah.
Josh, are you reading Jennifer Blood or is it just me at this point?
I am.
I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
I think I am.
Yeah.
It's not great.
No, I think that's the point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you again, we talked about it last time, he said he just wanted to do a goofy, violent, funny book, and which I think it is.
It is. I mean, I don't know how long I want to read it forever, but for right now, I'm still having fun. I like that. Well, I know, but if it's good, they'll do another one or something like that. But like the it's funny. This book opens up, like literally starts with just some dude fucking on a boat. Bare naked, right off from the very first page.
Yep.
I was like, oh, well, that's where we are now. And then horrible shit happens to the bad guys.
I actually really like the character, the main character. I think that he does a great job. She's completely deranged. It's sort of like a more off-kilter Twilight Guardian.
Mm-hmm.
And I like her. She's sort of endearing.
I think the best thing about that is the fact that they're having sex on the front of the boat. And it kind of looks like the Titanic pose. And then the title is My Heart Will Go On. Yes. And then I laughed.
And I'd like to point out that the female's dialogue is oink, 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 because he's pulling her nose back like a pig.
Oh, there you go. Wow. Oh, Garth.
She's kind of endearing the way she talks. She narrates the book in her head.
Yeah. And, I like how she really gets into weapons technology. Yeah. That's Garth.
I like how she's always going, honestly.
Yeah.
I can't. Are they supposed to be American? Because there's a lot of Britishisms
they're
in there.
They're in Brooklyn.
Yeah, well, there's a little few Britishisms in there, but whatever.
Yeah.
So a book that we don't often get to talk about but came out this week called... Depending where you live. But Compa Comics, number 5. And this is written by Fred Van Lente, who you might know from his Marvel work on Kirk and the upcoming Alpha Flight and all that stuff, illustrated by Ryan Dunleavy. And if you don't know, they did Action Philosophers, which was telling about philosophy in comic form. Very dense. They then moved on to Comic Book Comics, which basically, for those of you who are into comic book history and knowledge and like behind the scenes kind of thing, you have to read this.
I'm really pissed off because I went in and they were like, no, that came out last week. I was like, that's not what my list says. And it sold out.
Yeah. And it was at the store we went to. But if you go to a con and you see Fred or Ryan at the show, buy all of these issues.
Yeah. If you there's so many great stories about the history of comics.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
And I've totally, and this one's even the best one. I'll get to that in a second. But I've totally become, like, I just read The 10-Cent Plague and I've been reading Glamour Puss. Like, I'm totally fascinated by the 40s, 50s. The prior to Marvel and DC 60, the Silver Age Renaissance, to see what happened. This one's really interesting because this issue focuses all on lawsuits, on all the various copyright disputes going, you know, Superman, Siegel and Schuster, and all, you know, the
Gerber, Howard the Duck.
There have been exactly. a few lawsuits in comics
yeah.
history.
Oh yeah, and a few.
Maybe one or two.
Mr. Met even makes a appearance. What I like about this one is that there's a lot of information, there are a lot of words, but Fred writes it in a playful, fun way, and then Ryan is illustrating it almost like it reminds me of when we were in elementary school.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, this is how they make a car. It's like, and then they put the wheels on, and, like, you know, and they're all smiling and that sort of thing. They're doing it in that kind of 50s kind of, you know, like educational style. I don't know. It's great. It makes me laugh, but it's also really serious. So it's fantastic.
They're fascinating, real stories, and they're, you know, their research and everything. Yeah. I can't wait to read that.
It's awesome.
Can I see yours? No. Okay, kids. I know everybody waits for this every week now. It's the new Archie. It's time for the infestation update from IDW. This time, Connor, where were the Ghostbusters? What did you think?
So Ghostbusters infestation number one.
Yes. Right. It was weird. Because it's so dependent on those actors.
Yeah.
I thought that he did a really good job of capturing the voices.
Who wrote it?
Yes.
He had Eric Burnham.
Okay.
The dialogue, whose name I know, but not sure why.
You could hear it being said by the actors. It's just weird because you kind of want them to say it.
A couple of funny things. Yeah. About the first half of this book is literally them standing in one place in the street. There's a lot
which
of
is-
that.
Which is Ghostbusters.
No, which is fine, but in the comic book, it's like I notice it. Yeah. The art's by Kyle Hutz, who did Billy the Kid, Old Timey Oddities. Yeah. Great artist. He's really good for it. Yeah. Peter Venkman's voice is very good. The Egon voice is very good. The Ray voice is very good. Winston gets one line, and it's weird. Like, they point out that the zombie is a white guy, and then somebody name checks Winston, who then just goes and shoots him and has one line of dialogue the whole time.
Okay, ugly.
Yeah, I was like, ooh, you screwed the black guy again. Yeah. That was a little weird. But actually, like, they play, like, it was the right tone. It wasn't like the other ones where the zombies are terrifying or whatever. Like, they were like, hey, look, there's a zombie there. And then they sit in and talk about the zombie for a while he growls at them for a bit. And then he explodes.
Okay. I mean, it was fun. The Stay Puft Marshmallow Man escapes at the end, so they got to deal with that next issue. And it's good. I feel like the whole Enterprise peaked with Star Trek.
Yeah.
And
either way, I caught up on number two. That was great,
wasn't it? Yeah.
Although I do say, you're right. The Venkman voice is good. Like, I'm looking at the book now, when the zombie comes into their headquarters, and just the Venkman and what's her name just looking straight ahead. The beat, and then the Egon. We got company, like, you know, like that. Yeah.
I gotta say, I was really impressed by the voices. I thought he nailed it.
Yeah.
And also short shrifting Winston,
which is also Ghostbusters.
I know. Sure, yeah, I know. Yeah, it totally is. Yeah.
Oh well.
Let's watch it.
So it's really not. I believe you.
Why am I dippings with goo?
That's two.
I know, good, though. But I love to say that. So there you go.
So, all right. So those are the books that came out this week. You can go to ifanboy.com/comics, see all the books that ship every week, and do your pull list, and come back and rate and review your books. And we have a couple of reviews from the iFanbase that we want to touch upon.
Kingdom of Evan reviewed Northern Guard number 2, gave a story a 4 out of 5, and the art a 2 out of 5. And at the time of recording, no one made this a pick of the week. And Kingdom of Evan says, for a story that's rebooting decades-old characters that most of us have never seen before, this story is moving pretty fast, and I like it. There's no dilly-dallying in the Golden Age. They had spy rings to smash and Nazis to punch. And while this isn't exactly a throwback style of storytelling, it is aiming for a classic feel, and it hits the mark.
I thought it was interesting because this is a super indie. I don't even know who published this. But Ty Templeton did the art.
I think it's like Moonstone or something like that.
Is it really?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Moonstone published it, so... Interesting to see somebody picked it up and reviewed it. So
cool.
Interesting.
Wally the Green Monster on Superboy number 5, giving the story a 4 out of 5 and an art a 1 out of 5. And the pick of the week percentage is like a 10th of a percent. It's infinitesimal.
Harsh review.
This is the first book that I've been buying solely because of the writer. Gallo's art isn't that great. It never has been on this run, unfortunately. If he's improving as others are asserting in its baby steps, as with other comics, he seems to have very little experience drawing the human form from life and shows this with his lack of understanding on the subtleties of anatomy, resulting in some panels that look straight up awkward. Whether it's inconsistent or flat faces, body parts that look like unproportionate sausages, or trying to pose characters in action poses that look forced and unnatural, Gallo's art isn't living up to the quality of the writing. As a result, I'm taking out of the story more than I'd like.
I would tend to agree with him for this issue, especially this issue was the Superboy Kid Flash race around the world, and all I could think of the whole time was, how is he running in those tight jeans?
They don't give denim.
No.
I guess it could be a stretch denim. They
do
have that.
The tighter your jeans are, the less movement you got in the legs.
Does he not sweat? Because that's another problem.
You know what's kind of crazy? Is that I kind of like it.
I can see that.
I'm looking at it now. I'm not reading this book.
Yeah.
I kind of like the art. I'll be honest with you. It's got a little bit of a Quietly touch to it. And yeah.
Well, I wonder this. If he is a guy who's, I think he's European. Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah. But if he is a guy who's new to this and they're on, what issue are we at now?
Five.
You know, maybe the monthly grind of sort of being new to something like this might be starting to wear on the art a little bit. You know what I mean? Just like, you know, five issues in a row on a monthly, that's hard.
You don't know that.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But if you think it's getting worse, then if you're new to doing monthly comics like right. that, then that could be a thing because you got to keep pushing.
I know. I kind of dig it.
In the DCU, when you race around the planet, they televise it. And everyone watches.
Well, yeah, so it's an event.
And then, spoiler alert, Crypto wins.
Of course. Don't fuck with Crypto.
He races with them and beats them both.
All right. Good. All I could think was that would get pretty good ratings. That would beat Idol.
Also, yeah. in your continuity news, Damian's still in the Teen Titans, but he left the team in the last issue of Teen Titans.
Oh, there you go.
And his stubble is too long.
All right.
Damian's stubble is like eight.
Yeah.
He's very manly.
Is he a stubble in this?
No.
Prepubescent.
Oh, I'm just going to say
that really would be an art problem.
My new thing 2011 is to complain about people's stubble length. That's going to be
That's your thing? That's your catchphrase?
Yes. Now, as you may know, iFan was a part of the digital comics company Graphically. But did you know that Graphically... What? Yes, it's amazing. But did you know that Graphically has over 2,000 comics that you can download and read right now at this very moment, with more being added every day?
I did know that, actually. I'm quite aware.
I was in the meetings earlier. I'm aware of it. Maybe you listening at home are not aware of it. We've publishers like Archie, Arkea, Boom, Top Cow.
Marvel.
There's all kinds of people being added every day. Blue Water people, you know, all kinds of different comics maybe you've never heard of. Check out new stuff. You can find
a lot of indie stuff. A lot of indie and creator-owned stuff in there, actually.
And you can find it cheaper than you find in the stores. So maybe you want to experiment with new stuff, like the Guardian book that we talked about. What was it called? Northern Guard.
I don't think we have that.
No, but I'm saying books like that,
yes.
You can check out for cheaper Graphically. So you can check them on your iPhone, your iPad, your desktop app. We've got Android. We've got all kinds of great stuff, all kinds of the multi-platform stuff.
We're currently if you have an Android phone, this is the only way to read Marvel comics is on Graphically on Android. So.
And there's some good Marvel stuff in there, too. Yeah, stuff like you can catch around.
Definitely. Infinity modern Gauntlet. And old.
Yeah, Powers, lots of Powers.
Yeah, Powers, Infinity Gauntlet, stuff like that. So go to Graphically.com. You can check out all the info there. You can find all the app downloads. Check it out, Graphically.com.
Cool. All right, on to the email. Our first email comes from Isaac, who says, "Hi, gang. In January, Eric Powell posted a pretty offensive, yet at points hilarious and spot-on video on YouTube that was quickly removed, calling for more diversity in genre and mainstream comics. The fact is, though, at least when it comes to the big two, the stuff that sells are in-continuity A-list superheroes and event books, and there's very little breathing room for new characters or genres. This is a topic we've been talking about a lot."
Oh, you get me going, buddy.
"So I want you to make some. I want all three of you to choose one A-list character from Marvel or DC you would be totally fine with just living without and never seeing in a book again. Choose." Well, this is easy. Batman. No, Superman. Superman.
No, you can't get rid of Superman.
Well, yeah.
No, that's his choice. He doesn't have Superman. Fine. That's He's a communist.
I can live in a world without Superman.
All right.
But only in the comics.
Right.
You like Smallville.
Oh, I do like Smallville, yeah. But it's ending this year, so
But
fine.
it's only about being the books, though.
Yeah, comics, yeah.
Is Deadpool an A-list character?
He is right now.
There you go.
Well, it's funny you should say that because it gets to our next email.
I'm just going to say X-Men.
That's a whole group of characters.
It's not a book, though. It's an X-Men book. I don't need that.
Pick one.
Cyclops.
Fuck you.
I could live without Wolverine. I've seen enough Wolverine stories that whatever it is you got to tell me, they can still be good.
Take him off the board. Make him come up with the new Wolverine. Who's the new Wolverine? Maybe it's Deadpool. There you go. Well, that leads to our next email.
It's a step down.
Which is from John from New Jersey, which might explain some of this. Can someone please explain what the big deal about Deadpool is? I'm not saying he's not a good character. I really don't know him. But Marvel seems to put out an awful lot of material about him. Every time I turn around, there seems to be a bunch of books out with him in it or on the cover. Is he that big of a seller? I don't get it. Thanks.
Yes.
Neither do we.
No, but that's the answer. He sells. Yeah. Books sell. I mean, in today's market, I think all of his books sell in the 50 range or around there. Or they debut there anyway. And for this market, that's a good selling book. So, yes, that's the answer. He sells books.
He does. And I can't explain it because they're not good. I mean, I've read a couple, and I know I'm going to get a bunch of shit. There's a lot. He's got rabid fans. I'll give him that much. I'll give him that credit. You know, like a lot of loyal fans.
I think it's because it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Relative.
Yeah.
And people, I guess, want more of that, and the bar's low.
Yeah.
Oh, that last part probably wasn't necessary.
Ooh, zing. All right, so if you have the answer as to why Deadpool is popular, you can email us at contact@fanboy.com. Let us know. It's been a while since we had done voicemails, and we've got some gems this week, gentlemen.
Woo!
So we're going to kick it off with a unique request.
Hi, my name is Arturo Mojica, and I'm a really big fan of your show. Right now I'm watching the Miracle Man episode, and I simply have a question. Would you guys be willing to sell some of the issues? I'm just asking because the only one I have are issue 2, and I have some of the Golden Age stuff. So I want to see, will you be willing to sell them?
No. We're not selling our books. Like, these are our books.
Maybe he thought it's a different kind of show than it is.
Maybe. We're not QVC.
Well, hold on now.
Wait a minute. Arturo might be onto something here.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, you looked up the complete Miracle Command issues. Yeah,
you can get them on eBay for like $350, $400. But that's pretty reasonably priced for those books that aren't available.
I'm not selling my copies then at all. I thought they were worth much less.
I feel like you could get them for less. You could get like one, you know, like you get an issue here and there and probably not pay that much for them if you go to cons or whatever. Or just
let's turn the video show into a weekly QVC where we just start selling our crap we don't want anymore.
That's a good idea.
I think Ron would be really good at that. and he would be like, Josh, I sold your stuff. And I was like, but I wasn't selling that. Well, like, it's gone now.
I got my cut.
Listen.
I got my piece. Got mine.
Any idea what you can get for a healthy white baby?
I've been pricing it out. I have a spreadsheet.
That's my joke.
I just like. I would never call. Like,
that's what the most horrible. That's the most horrible thing you've ever said on our show. I've said more. Sure.
I just don't know what made him think that's okay to ask. Like, I would never think, can I buy your copies? Ballsy. All right.
But you deserve an answer, Arturo.
But you'll never get him unless you ask.
True. That's a good point. Yeah. Worse is the worst we say now.
There are easier ways. Like I was watching Sherlock Holmes and I thought, I want that jacket.
Yeah.
So why not find the actor
and beat him up and take the jacket.
Can I have that jacket? Yeah. What do you want for it? And he's like, well, we're doing a show. And then he said, mate, because he's English.
Yeah.
The end of that story.
All right. It didn't turn out well, did it?
I was exactly what I wanted. I didn't do the voice. That was the problem.
Yeah, that's true. All right, our next voicemail answered his own question.
Hi, this is Matt from Chicago. I called a few episodes back, I think before the winter break, about Hawkeye stories, and now I have a little bit of a different question. I'm a sophomore in high school, and I really only have a handful of friends who share the interest of liking comic books and reading comic books and discussing them. So I was just wondering, what type of places or what type of things do you think would, or what type of places do you think I would meet more people who like comic books? And that's actually pretty much the question. Love the show, and I will see you guys at C2E2. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, let's go back and diagram what just happened here. Want people to hang out with, watch comics, talk about them, whatever. I'm going to C2E2.
Well, that seems like a really good place to find people who are into comics.
He's not wrong about that. You know, at the same time, you know, if you don't have a good comic shop where people are hang out.
Well, here's the thing. He lives in Chicago. Chicago is a very comics-friendly town.
Go to Neuron Comics Taping.
Challengers. Exactly. Go to Challengers. Always having events there. And that's how you meet comic friends. And we have lots of people who have become friends through iFanboy. How? Because they go to our events and they hang out all the time. That is what you have to. You have to go out proactively, go to these places.
You can also like if you're part of a comic community like iFanboy or something like that. Like there's people who talk on the site and things, and then there's people who sort of talk on Twitter off there, and you can sort of build relationships that way. And then you go to a thing and you meet people in the flesh, and people like we have people who are roommates now. We have people who are
Married. It's like it's insane.
Do we have married people?
Yeah, I think so, or not? Maybe not anymore. But yeah, but no, we've got everybody. We've got everything. So it's like, and that's the thing. It's like you're going to a convention. There's gonna be so many people there. There are parties every night, like there are social events around the conventions, and you're in Chicago, go to Dark Tower when they record around comics, go to Challengers when they do those events.
To be fair, C2E2 is probably kind of overwhelming in terms of like making a buddy for it, but I think
in the bathroom go to a guy in the next stall and just be like, hey, what you reading?
Nice stream you got there. What do you think about Doc Strange?
How about that Deadpool?
Speaking of a Deadpool.
No, but if you're lucky enough to live in a place like Chicago as opposed to somewhere, like we met some people in Seattle who they said, listen to your show because I've got no comic book friends. I live in a small town. That's
yeah. A lot of people in the Seattle area aren't actually from the city. They're from the outlying suburbs and stuff like that. Like we're very lucky, you know, being in New York and San Francisco, also a very good comic town. Chicago's a very good comic town.
Pretty sure Chris Niesman will just come and hang out with you if you ask him.
Yeah, hey, if you're buying, he'll do that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You buy him a bourbon, he'll be your comic friend.
Exactly. All right, our last voicemail's got a question about Oni.
Hey guys, this is Wes from St. Paul, Minnesota. Had a question for you about Oni Press. Over the last year, I've gotten to read such fine books such as Scott Pilgrim, Wasteland, Resurrection, and recently The Sixth Gun. So I was just wondering, are there any other Oni Press books that you would recommend? Really appreciate it, guys. Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye.
Well, you're in luck because Oni is one of our favorite publishers.
And they have so much material for all different kinds of things. Local
was through there.
If you like Sixth Gun, then you should definitely check out the team's earlier work, The Damned.
Yep. Stumptown from Rucka and Southwark just got collected in a hardcover. That's pretty cool. Ghost Project was a great series.
Barry Ween, if you like comedy books.
Barry Ween's one of the funniest comic books I've ever read in my life.
Gorillas, which moved over from Image to Oni with the monkeys during the war. Like that's a good one.
They're gorillas. Yep. They're chimps, technically, and it's Vietnam.
Mondo Urbano was awesome. Black Metal was great.
Northwest Passage, if you like history. I mean, there's literally every genre you could want, and Oni does a really good job of covering lots
Listen,
of stuff.
Listen, go to Oni Press. com, browse, check it out, go to a con where they're at. They've got great stuff.
Ghost Project was with great art from Steve Rolston.
Yep.
Frenemy of the State, I hear good things about.
Yeah.
Literally,
Union
like,
Station, Capote, Kansas, Krogan's Revenge.
Black Metal, which won an Eisner.
Northworld, our buddy Lars. So much great stuff. So check it out.
It's all over the map, though. So like, if you're like, I want an adventure thing, there's some of that. If you know, you want comedy, there's some of that. There's a ton of Whiteout.
Cool.
We're very excited about that.
So if you have any other questions, give us a call on our voicemail line at 1-888-FANBOYS. It's 1-888-326-2697. And while you're at it, why don't you go subscribe to our iFanboy Don't Miss podcast, which is our weekly podcast where we highlight...
Wait, before you get into that...
I was laughing.
I started laughing earlier because I got to the part of the script where it's listed and it says Don't Miss Roberto Clemente, and I thought, oh my God, isn't he dead?
Okay.
Now tell them about the show.
I'm so confused.
You threw him off. Because it says, don't miss Roberto Clemente. And I was like, that's a good get. I did the same thing. So
the book Chris Neesman is going to be talking to Wilfred Santiago, who did the book 21, The Story of Roberto Clemente, which comes out this week from Fantagraphics. So if you're a baseball fan, baseball spring training has kind of kicked in. So,
But we want to be clear. Roberto Clemente is not on the show.
No, he's not. It's Wilfred Santiago.
I guess that's okay. Ron just got the joke now.
Totally got the joke.
Yeah, that's what we were confused about. When we got to that voicemail, I looked further down the script and I went, Roberto Clemente, isn't he down on the bottom of the ocean?
Oh, that's awful.
I don't get it. I don't understand. It's crazy.
So, listen to Don't Miss. Go to iTunes and subscribe to it. Check it out. It should be a good interview.
That should be a good book because he's a fascinating life story. He was a really good man.
Yeah. And it looks really beautiful.
He died doing humanitarian work during plane crash.
Beautiful hardcover. Beautiful hardcover.
When did he play? Did he play in the 80s?
70s. 60s and 70s in the Pirates.
He was a great
21 was his number.
Great player.
Yeah.
I assume that's what the number was.
Yeah. 21, The Story of Roberto Clemente.
Are we sure we didn't get Roberto Clemente?
For sure.
He's a hard get.
Can we book him?
Right. So now C2E2 is coming up. We mentioned it a couple times earlier. We had ECCC before. We got C2E2. We got WonderCon coming up.
ECCC? Do people call it that?
I'm starting to think.
ECCC.
I'm starting to think.
So C2E2 in Chicago.
We'll be there. We have a booth. Come say hi. There's no official meetup for C2E2.
No, there's no official meetup because we're tired. But we'll have our booth. You can come say hi to us there. Graphically is going to be in the Arkea booth, so if you want to check out Graphically, check out some cool stuff, and maybe you can get some free comics, go to Arkea's booth.
Yes.
Check that out. We'll be roaming the floor. You can check out the Food and Comics panel, which I'll be moderating along with Rick Bayless, the aforementioned Rick Bayless, and C.B. Cebulski, and some other luminaries.
You see Josh and I sort of roaming around smelling for food.
There will be food
Oaxacan
there.
Oaxacan delicacies.
There will be food there. And then also, there will be a podcasting panel Friday night that Josh is going to be sitting on with Chris Neesman and Suntris and I think one of the comic book queers.
Josh, I have a question. How do you do a podcast?
You just go like blah 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 blah, and then in the beginning you're like, hello, I'm doing a voice, and then people write to you and they're like, you suck at that, and then you don't do it as much.
How do you get people to listen to your podcast? I started one a couple months ago, and that's what you can look forward to, the podcasting panel. And hopefully Neesman will be drunk.
Do you suck?
So.
No, but honestly, those are fun, and Josh will be funny, and that's a good group.
Whoa.
So
don't make any promises.
First you're promising dead ball players, and now I'm going to be funny. Hold the phone.
No, actually, I like it. I like it better when you're not funny, but when you're angry on the panels. Those are the best panels.
Yeah,
if the later it is, and it's a later podcast.
Like
later.
Seven,
so
certainly Josh on the Comics Podcasting panel is lots of fun. So come out to the panels, come say hi to our booth. Say hi to us.
It'll be good to see you. Yeah, we'll be roaming around the floor. We'll probably spend a lot of time in Artist Alley and at the publisher booths and in the bathroom looking for friends.
How do I start a podcast? Have fun.
All the time. Thank you, Viv Savage. Okay, cool. So come find us at C2E2.
And we have a prize to give away from allposters.com. If you've been on iFanboy.com, you'll have seen the post up at the top. They have an Archie Comics collection at All Posters, and we've done stuff with them before. And this time, to celebrate the Archie Comics collection, which, by the way, has this – it's this huge collection of really nice prints of classic Archie covers, you know, stuff from a really long time ago, and even recent Archie stuff and all sorts of things on there. So go through and you can see some of the stuff they've gotten there. Very cool. To celebrate, they are going to give away a $100 gift certificate to an iFanboy member. And to become a member, you got to go to iFanboy.com/store, and that you help support the site, and you're also eligible for this stuff.
That's the only way to win.
Who is the winner, Ron?
Our winner is Mario Gomez, a recent member. So it just shows that if you become a member, you win. That's
yeah.
What happens. So Mario Gomez, congratulations.
You can go check out allposters.com, and you'll be getting an email about that. Thanks a lot.
And if you can't go to C2E2, go to ifanboy.com. That's where we'll be covering all the news breaking out of C2E2, and as well, you can come check out our video show a couple weeks after the show to see all the interviews we're going to do. But every week, we do this Pick of the Week podcast, as well as we write the Pick of the Week review you can go read, as well as amazing articles. We've been killing it on the site these past couple of months. It's been great stuff.
Some we're not really, going to say that anymore.
Not about art. I said it about us.
Oh, we're not going to say it anymore.
Not us, our staff.
Yeah, our staff.
Yeah. They are damn it.
But kicking ass. So go to ifanboy.com. Great stuff there. Video show comes out every Wednesday. Last week, we finally got to talk about one of our favorite series, Starman, which was great.
Great book.
Yeah.
Good show, too. I enjoyed that show.
You drunk?
Great
book.
I remember.
It's like fucking Dick Cavett over here. So next week.
Lovely sundress.
Next week, we'll be coming at you from Seattle with our coverage of Emerald City Comic Con, part 1.
E-triple-C, Ron.
E-triple-C, part 1. So tune in on Wednesday to see all the good stuff. Really good show. And if you happen to like a certain Scottish artist who I don't think has ever been interviewed on a comic book website, you can see it for the first time on our show. It's Frank Quitely.
You blew the secret. If you want to email us, you can send that to contact@ifanboy.com. We'll eventually get back to you. Or you can leave a voicemail at 888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697. If you want to get something on the show, those are two really good ways to do it. But, keep it – get to the point. Say your name. Say where you're from. And don't talk for 3 minutes about something. But business proposals apparently we're also taking.
Yeah.
So
bring them on.
I like that shirt you were wearing.
How much you want for it?
How much you want for it?
Everything must go.
We're not that far away from that. If you like us, you can write a review on iTunes. We really appreciate it. It's the easiest way you can help. It helps people find the show when they search for comics podcasts. Not just for this show, for the video show, for Word Balloon, for all the shows, iFanboy family, please do that. Even better than that is to tell your friends, tell your comic book store buddies, tell your mom when she calls on Sunday, you sort of run out of things to talk about after 5 minutes.
Yeah, just tell her what happened to Batman.
Start telling her about podcasts, and either she will start listening, and that's good for us, or she will hang up, and it's good for you.
Hello, so how is Gaucho? Oh, so good. He rides the motorcycle, that one, doesn't he?
Very good.
So tell your mom about it. It helps for the iFanboy word.
Yes. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/iFanboy. And I think that's about it. It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen next week.
We're
all going to be in Chicago.
Oh, next week we're going to have our yearly All Writers show. So
that should be a train wreck.
So if you enjoyed last week's show with Tom and Paul, next week's show there'll be more of our staff doing it. This has helped 3 years in a row now. So if you're freaking out, it's a normal thing we do.
Yeah. And we'll be back. Don't worry.
Maybe
not.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll see. Listen, we're all together. I feel like we should start talking about the G.I. Joe animated series. Is there anything left to say about it? The wolf dances.
The wolf does.
That's weird. Fire. How does barbecue afford a place
fighting
like that?
Fighting fires is for firefighters.
How does barbecue afford a place like that on the government salary?
It was a
salary?
Nice loft. It was a
it
nice
was.
Loft.
I mean, maybe,
it was a bitchin'
maybe
loft.
It was the 80s.
It was also maybe it was in Minnesota or something.
And he
somewhere.
Had a basketball hoop.
Yeah,
Minnesota? He's from Boston.
So why didn't he not live on base?
No, you're thinking of...
Think about it. Why didn't
maybe
he live off
base? Maybe it was like in his family, like it was his dad's place or something.
Firefighting's for firefighters.
That's why he talked funny. He's from Boston.
No, that's different. That's not barbecue. That's
the yellow red firefighter guy.
Yeah,
the boring one.
Yeah, there's two.
No, barbecue
guys.
Makes the fire, but the other guy puts out the fires.
Yeah, the fight.
What was his name?
Yellow red guy.
So they keep each other in business. Then one guy burns them down, the other guy fixes them.
Yeah, that's how it works.
It's collusion.
It's circular.
I see.
It's circular.
So they applied together to the G.I. Joe program.
Seriously, the other day I was looking around in my medicine cabinet for something and and I didn't have exactly what I was like, oh, Advil's not going to work, but there was like some leftover Vicodin from before, and I thought I would take that. I close the cabinet, and all of a sudden I look outside, and there's this dude in a military uniform, literally, you know, 2 inches from my face, and he's like, don't do that. And I was like, how the hell did you get up here? I live on the third floor.
And he asked if he could have your extra Vicodin.
Yeah, he did.
You doing anything with those? Or?
If you understand that joke, that is awesome. If you don't,
someone
I'm
has
sorry.
To write in because I can't find the name of this character, and you know who I'm talking about. He's a yellow suit with red accents. What was his name? It's gonna drive me crazy. All right, until next week, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
What the fuck was his name?
Right, it's gonna drive me crazy.
I'm Josh.
Why was Deep Six in that lake?
Why could, that figure couldn't move his arms or legs.
No, he was really thick. It was a thick figure. It was plastic.
You kind of chew on it.
And actually, he's Buzz Lightyear. Right?